Good morning, Connecticut, and to our friends across the Sound. It's Director of Public Affairs, John Boquette, sending out happy birthday wishes to my son, Hunter, and thanks to you for tuning into our award-winning public affairs program, For the People, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. While winter's coming and healthcare professionals are already concerned about another record-breaking flu season, and new research is causing even more concern as it suggests the virus can trigger a heart attack or stroke weeks later for those with certain risk factors. So we're calling in an expert from consulting cardiologists to help us understand the connection between flu and the heart. Then we'll encore a segment from late summer aimed at helping educate Connecticut employers and their workforce about the cost of employee stress. Our in-studio authorities on the subject will detail why stress is bad for the individual health of employees as well as their families and workplace, and we'll learn how employers can better support employees with programs to address and mitigate stress. Then we'll close with a conversation about saving energy as temperatures start to drop. We'll touch base with our source at Eversource for some timely tips on how you can easily save some serious cash this winter and in the years to come by making a few inexpensive investments, including booking yourself a home energy audit. We'll be back with these segments and more on the award-winning For the People with me, John Boquette, right after this reminder. With nearly half of Americans living without an estate plan, the Valley Community Foundation is urging residents from the Greater Valley and beyond to create a will and remember their favorite nonprofit as well. As we wrap up National Estate Planning Awareness Week today, it's a good time to remind folks there's no better time to take action or modify an existing will to name a charitable organization as a beneficiary. The Valley Community Foundation is building philanthropy in its five-town region throughout the Valley Gives Back Community-wide plan giving initiative. Through this effort, VCF assists the community in supporting planned giving efforts. Anyone looking for simple explanations about how gift types work, you can tap into toolkits, videos, a sample will, and much more by visiting valleygivesback.org. Well, we are just approaching Halloween, and that's when a lot of health professionals tell you to say boo to the flu and get your flu shot. And, you know, certainly we've heard a lot of reasons why you don't want to get the flu. You know, it is a dangerous thing for people, particularly those in compromised health conditions. But we're very, very excited now that the fall flu season has started to be talking with a healthcare professional who is going to discuss some research that's causing more concern because it suggests the flu virus can trigger a heart attack or stroke weeks later for those with certain risk factors. I'm on the line right now with Dr. John Dinkler. He's with consulting cardiologists to talk about the connection between flu and the heart. Dr. Dinkler, great to meet you. Thanks for joining us on the program.
Thanks for having me.
So you've got quite a practice there at at consulting cardiologists. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so we are a pretty large practice here throughout Central Connecticut. We have about 13 cardiologists and offices throughout about 9 locations in Connecticut, stemming from Wallingford up in Hartford and around that area. It's a great, great growing practice. We actually joined forces. There are two individual groups that joined together here in January to form the new consulting cardiologists, and it's really exciting. It's enabled us to expand our services and expand our cardiovascular care across the state.
Yeah, and I see that you're still independent, not directly affiliated or subsidiary of hospital, but I imagine all of your physicians are affiliated with numerous hospitals, so you've got quite a reach in that respect as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So we have plenty of our offices where we perform, our testing and a lot of our cardiovascular workup, and we see patients on a regular basis. And then if any of our patients are admitted to the hospital throughout the state of Connecticut, we also have privileges at a few different hospitals so that we can make sure that we coordinate that care in both inpatient as well as on the outpatient basis.
Great. Well, we hear so often these sad stories, which so many can be prevented of people dying or becoming really, really sick from the flu and having lasting impact from it. Can you just kind of give us a quick refresher on what the flu virus is and talk about some of the most serious complications of the flu?
Absolutely. Yeah, so flu or influenza is a virus that can infect the tissues in the nose, the throat, the mouth, in and around the lungs. It's typically transmitted by respiratory droplets. So people cough, they sneeze, they talk in close quarters, and they can transmit the virus to other people. And then it can cause anywhere from mild symptoms to pretty severe illness. The milder symptoms are typically the body aches and pains, little stuffy nose, runny nose, cough, fevers, chills, body aches, all those kinds of things that you would associate with even sometimes the common cold. But it can also get pretty serious for a lot of people as well, developing into, you know, things like pneumonia and pretty severe respiratory illnesses and other complications.
Yeah. Can you also clarify the information around the types of flu there are? Because we hear that every year when they're deciding to formulate the flu vaccine, they'll put components of some but not all of the influenza that is circulating around the globe, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, so two major types of the flu virus. There's influenza A and influenza B. And typically what we see most commonly is various types of influenza A that get transmitted broadly. But when they develop the vaccine, they're doing a little bit of guesswork and a little bit of projecting, trying to figure out what they think is going to be the most common types that are going to transmit illness from year to year. So it's a really complicated process that they try to go through to kind of look back and look forward to see how to attack the virus from a vaccine perspective to keep people safe throughout flu season.
Yeah. Well, we know that flu can lead to pneumonia and other serious respiratory issues, and taxing the respiratory system obviously has its immediate implications on the cardiovascular system. But tell me about when you started becoming more concerned about cardiac complications related to the flu.
Yeah, so it definitely can have a wide-ranging effect on the body, including the cardiovascular system. So not only can the virus itself lead to kind of broad-scale inflammation and strain on the heart and the rest of the cardiovascular system, but then people with cardiovascular disease, when they get the virus, can have more complications. So that general inflammatory process can set up a lot of problems for cardiovascular patients, leading to things like heart failure, inflammation of the heart muscle. That infection, if they do develop a pneumonia, that inflammatory process can lead to a bloodstream infection, which can create more problems for the heart muscle, heart valves. So it goes both ways. Not only for people that get the virus, it can create increased complications with cardiovascular disease, and then people who already have disease, it can be more serious for them than somebody who would otherwise be healthier, just because they're set up to have more of these complications with that systemic response.
So when people are being advised to get a flu shot, those who's in coordination with their physicians, individuals with heart disease are really kind of critically prime candidates to get a flu shot every year.
Absolutely. Yeah, those are the, you know, prime people who absolutely every fall should be lining up to get their flu shot because, you know, certainly everybody should be getting their flu shot from young to old. But especially at the top of the list are people who are vulnerable, people with diabetes, asthma, COPD, emphysema, some of those kind of lung and respiratory issues, people who have had heart attacks and heart failure. diabetics. Those are prime populations that really need to focus on protecting themselves from the flu, because it can be very dangerous for those people if they do contract the virus.
Hmm. Well, taking it to the next step with your patients and your patients in your practice that already have cardiovascular issues, are there any significant challenges involved in managing flu patients that have heart problems?
Yeah, so I think, in terms of there's the general maintenance of cardiovascular health and prevention that we would hope for anybody throughout the flu season. So making sure that they are, being careful with being in contact with sick people, washing their hands, covering their cough and their sneeze, general hygiene principles, but also taking their medications regularly, making sure they take, all the medicines for their heart, their blood pressure, their cholesterol, maintaining their health and good cardiovascular health, which includes, hydration and proper eating and proper exercise and movement. All of those things are really important in general, but especially for our cardiovascular patients to stay in top health to prevent illness in the flu season.
Mm. Is there any kind of industry studies within your area of specialty that indicate the percentage of people that have existing cardiovascular problems that are still reticent to get the flu shot?
That's a great question. I actually don't know of any off the top of my head that say, this is the percentage of people that are scared or concerned about getting a flu shot within the cardiovascular population. I know statistics are wide every year across the CDC that publishes data on the flu and how many people get infected every year, about anywhere between 5 and 10% typically get infected. It can be a little bit lower and a little bit higher depending on the severity of the flu season. But every year we know that patients who get the vaccine do much better in terms of either reducing the illness completely or reducing the intensity and duration of the flu. And that absolutely applies to cardiovascular patients. So I recommend for all my patients to get the flu shot, and I try to walk through any of their reservations about getting the flu shot, because it's an extremely important public health measure for the population.
Now, whether a person has had the flu shot or not, sometimes, as you mentioned, if they get the flu shot, they could still get the flu. It might be the effects may be reduced because of the flu shot. But for those that are feeling flu-like symptoms, whether they've had a shot or not, how impactive is something like Tamiflu?
Yeah. So what you're referring to is the antiviral Tamiflu, which can be given for patients who test positive for influenza, or we get concerned that they have influenza-like symptoms, to try to diminish the duration and intensity of the symptoms. So it does. If you start to get those symptoms, it's really important to see your doctor. Obviously, practicing certain measures again is really important, like avoiding contact with sick people, trying to stay home from work, work from home, stay hydrated, but also contacting your healthcare professionals to get evaluated if the symptoms are severe, so that they can test you and get you that Tamiflu if you need it, which then will help reduce the intensity and duration of the influenza illness. Yeah. So it's really, really important.
Okay. We kind of joked at the beginning of the show about this new kind of say boo to the flu, and Halloween is the new Thanksgiving when it comes to getting the flu shot. I remember when I first started getting them now a quarter century ago or more, and getting them loyally every year, and I don't believe ever getting the flu or, if anything, getting a slight touch of it at one or two points in that quarter century. Back then, when I first started, it was, you've got to have your flu shot. Thanksgiving was sort of the target time. Now it's Halloween. It seems to be creeping earlier and earlier in the year. So as we talk about this here at the end of October, we are sort of in prime time for flu shots, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. No. Now, really, this month is the perfect month to be getting in to your local pharmacy, your physician, wherever it is that you can get your flu shot. October is the month to get it done. Obviously, any time is adequate here in the fall, and obviously even beyond in November, December. Continue to, if you haven't gotten it, it's important to get it. I got mine early as a healthcare professional because I have to do that before I start seeing patients. But certainly now is the prime time to get in and get vaccinated.
Great. Any last words of advice on when people might need to see a cardiologist or what they might need to look for in their own health landscape to talk with their doctor about a referral?
Yeah, absolutely. There are certain symptoms that may prompt your primary care physician to make a referral to a cardiologist. So people that have shortness of breath or any type of chest pain or chest discomfort, especially exertional types of discomfort, really important to be evaluated by your doctor and may require a referral to a cardiologist. Other certain symptoms like palpitations or rapid heart rates are really important to see your provider. And then if you have a strong family history or other medical conditions that put you at risk for cardiovascular disease, things like diabetes and high blood pressure, high cholesterol, strong family history, and obviously smoking is a big risk factor. We wish that smoking would go away, but it hasn't yet. And so those are all really important things in terms of risk factors that may make your doctors want you to see a cardiologist. And in terms of overall cardiovascular health, prevention, like anything, prevention is the key. So leading a healthy life, making sure you eat properly and move your body and exercise is really important in overall cardiovascular health.
How do people learn more about you and your practice?
We have a website, www.consultingcardiologists.com. People can come and learn about our group of great cardiologists and practitioners throughout the state of Connecticut. Would definitely recommend people look us up there.
Great. Super to meet you, Dr. John Dinkler, with us this morning from Consulting Cardiologists, joining a legion of healthcare professionals who are already concerned about the oncoming flu season, which could be record-breaking, as well as relatively new research that's causing even more concern because it's suggesting the flu virus can possibly trigger a heart attack or stroke weeks later for those with certain risk factors. We appreciate you chatting with us this morning, Dr. Dinkler. Best of luck with the practice. Your new office opening in Cheshire next year. We hopefully will talk to you again. Thanks. Well, if you heard our introduction, this segment is going to address a very important topic, something we all likely feel at some point or another, or if you're like me, it's just this constant ringing in my ears. I'm talking about how stress impacts employers. And we're also going to talk about the causes of employee stress and the impacts on corporate culture. We're so pleased to have with us in the studio Bert Wachtelhausen. She is president of WellSpark Health. And Cheryl Hutchinson is with us. She's co-founder and president of the Bowie Management Group. So, guys, thanks for coming in. And we're going to jump right into the subject matter here. First of all, from an employee standpoint, Bert, tell me a little bit about some of the things that it seems almost kind of academic, but what are the main causes of stress in an employee?
Well, John, these days life moves so fast. But if you're an employee today and you're stressed out, you're dealing with the fear of unemployment, perhaps excessive overtime. There's high management expectations without additional compensation, perhaps. There's change. There could be new technology that's coming into your company. And so your job description may change. Your job duties may change. So work itself is more stressful. But then there's the added stress where work creeps into life. You're working at home. Technology enables that. But also life creeps into work. So you could be at the workday and you're now having to deal with and carry over things that have happened at home that you just can't leave at the doorstep of your employer when you come to work. So you know, it's work creeps into life, life creeps into work, and then there's changes as well that might be happening in the workplace, causing fear and anxiety.
Yeah, and I was going to say, it was a guest on this very program probably a little over 10 years ago that finally kind of made the connection in my mind about the importance of sleep. And I've been really, really working on making sure I get 8+ a night, 6 to 7 nights a week. Last night, for some reason, was just a, it was just a bad one. I don't know how many, if I even made an hour in total. But
you were just excited to have us on
that's
on
it.
Show
that's
today,
that.
John.
Now, see, another guest gives me the right information. But no, honestly, work-related stress doesn't just come home. It also comes into the bedroom or the futon with us, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, sleep is one of the ways that the body recovers from the damage that stress can do to you physiologically. It, you know, stress can cause your body to react in so many ways, and it actually manifests at the cellular level. So sleep is really important to have your body restore and so that it can fight the ill effects of stress. Yeah.
And if you think about the stress factors that employees are facing right now, if you think about what organizations are going through, right, restructuring and all of the different things that happen within organizations, in addition to, you know, the stressors of work-life balance, you've also got the fear of unemployment, the amount of overtime people are working, the expectations of employees are much greater now. And they have, employees have very little control over their work environment. And so all of those factors contribute to the stress level. I just read from a source that 35% of employees claim that their number one stressor is actually their boss. And so it's interesting because you have the personal stressors, the life balance, but you also have the organizations and the transformations that are happening that are being pushed onto those employees as well. So I think, you know, it's a two-pronged approach that is causing that stress to really manifest itself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Cheryl, I know we watch The Office or so many of these workplace sitcoms that are out these days, and we see this sort of kind of snarky, high-strung or self-esteem issues, agitation, depression. But, you know, while they're made fun of in office sitcoms, these are real manifestations of stress.
They sure are. And, you know, I was the head of HR for a couple of companies, and over the 30 years that I was leading HR functions, it's true. The sitcoms maybe extract it and play it out a little bit, but it's not far-fetched from what is actually happening. And all of the stress impacts the financials of the company as well. You know, when you have a culture that's disengaged, you've got loss of focus, you've got emotional issues, and we hear so much now about substance abuse, right? And so all of those things start to impact an employer, and stress is, you know, we have to get ahead of it.
Right,
we can't just wait for the symptoms to show up and then react. And I think, you know, today's world, it's about the proactivity around how do you manage that stress before it even enters the workforce and really impacts your financial performance and your company culture.
Yeah, it's kind of sadly ironic, too, that when you think that the workplace or the boss or some combination of the two or the duties and responsibilities, potential for changes in the job are so impacting employees, but then it's kind of a twisted backlash that then that impacts productivity and other workplace functions that end up costing the employer on the other end as well as the employee, right?
Absolutely. There's huge financial impact to a disengaged culture, and stress is certainly the number one factor for disengagement. But I was just reading in a book that I recently read that the financial performance of a highly engaged workforce is 44% higher than a lower engaged workforce. So, and you know, stressed employees are 63% more likely to call out of work. So absenteeism and all of those things have a big financial hit to an organization. And again, go back to what the organizations today are faced with in terms of just transforming themselves, all the more reason for them to really want to create that culture of a highly engaged group.
Right. And Bert, it's not just the mental health that's impacted, right?
Right.
It causes physical
affectation. Sure. There's such a connection between the mind and body. And as I said earlier, you know, if you're carrying emotional stress, it plays out physically for you. And John, just to go back to, you know, employers in the work, think about almost every job. You could point to something where the work itself might be making employees sick. Mm-hmm. Sedentary, you're in your cube.
Yes.
For several hours
sitting,
a day.
The new camp.
Sitting. Right. Or some of our customers, there are truck drivers and pavers and plowers, perhaps, that work for a government employee or a town employee. They're out plowing around the clock. They're behind the wheel. They don't eat poorly. They don't sleep well because the nature of the work itself actually makes them sick. So employers are having to solve for this in new and different ways.
And it also speaks to the multiplication factor of, once again, what we were just talking about with Cheryl, that the potential for increased cost on the employer is significant, because if the sedentary behavior causes, some sort of illness, or the depression or anxiety causes gastrointestinal issues or exhaustion or muscle pain, frequent colds and infections, that is all a factor that is equally or maybe more important for the employer. So we're going to take a quick break right now, and we'll be right back to talk more with Bert Wachtelhausen, president of WellSpark Health, and Cheryl Hutchinson, an HR consultant, about this important topic of employee stress. Stick with us. Do you love Connecticut? If you do, there are hundreds of nonprofit agencies, community groups, and grassroots causes that would love to have your support. You can learn about many of them through Love CT. Just go to our radio station website, hit the event guide tab, and click on to Love CT to help the many causes supported by Connoisseur Media. This is Connoisseur Media's Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. We'll be back to the award-winning For the People right after this news. The non-denominational nonprofit Acts for Ministry, charitable organization serving the greater Waterbury community, is seeking donations of winter coats and accessories for children and adults during their annual Share the Warmth Coat Drive. Clothing and monetary donations will be welcome through Saturday, December 21st, and Acts for Ministry is looking for new or gently worn coats, jackets, hats, gloves, scarves, blankets, plus new socks, thermals, and undergarments, and there's a special need for men's coats and new long underwear. All donations can be brought to their offices on Thomaston Avenue in Waterbury Monday through Saturday. For hours, for donation drop-offs, or to learn about additional current donation needs, just visit their website. It's acts4.org. That's A-C-T-S, the number 4.org. We also want to remind you that the 2019 Business Women's Forum, Connecticut's longest-running annual full-day leadership conference, is coming up Tuesday, October 29th, from 8 to 4:30 at the AquaTurf in Plantsville. This year's BWF keynote speaker is Stacey London, a fashion expert, author, host, and contributor to numerous television talk shows. Under the theme Design Your Success, the full-day conference will include a motivational speaker, professional development workshops, breakfast, lunch, networking, and a closing reception. The 37-year mission of the BWF is to raise monies to provide scholarships to female post-university students pursuing degrees in business, and it's a program of the Greater Waterbury Chamber of Commerce Foundation. To learn more and pre-register, you can go to 2019bwf.com. We're back with Bert Wachtelhausen, who's the president of WellSpark Health, and Cheryl Hutchinson, an HR consultant, and we'll be talking a little bit more about employee stress and how you can help alleviate it. What are some of the other stresses that affect the employer, Cheryl?
Yeah, so I think, you know, certainly stress hits everyone. It's not a particular group. So when you have your high-performing folks not showing up to work or just disengaged because of the stress level, you're not able to really hit all of the benchmarks of performance that you want to, right? And so One of the things that, from an HR perspective, you need to think about is how do you get ahead of the disengaged workforce, and what are the signs? And the days of employee assistance programs being the tool in the toolbox for organizations to really help address stress in the workforce isn't really the tool that works anymore, because of so many reasons. And I think, Bert, you can elaborate on some of the challenges that EAP programs have in the workplace. But there, you have to be able to identify what is the culture that you want to have in your organization, and then deliver against that with the tools that will prevent stress from even entering in the workforce. And Bert, maybe you could talk a little bit about some of the reasons why EAP isn't the only tool that organizations have right now to address the stress levels.
Yeah, Cheryl, so you talked about, we were both talking about over the years how much stress has increased, and the old-fashioned or traditional tool set, which is at a human resource department's disposal, isn't working. And yes, it's resulting in higher health benefits expense. And so if you think about the benefits that an employer in an HR department would offer to employees, it is health benefits when somebody gets sick. And by then, it's actually, the stress has already come through and played out on the human body. It contributes to chronic disease. Mm. It's a precursor to
The damage is done.
The damage is done.
Right.
So what's an employee benefits manager to do? Well, the other benefits out there are mental health benefits. Again, when things are really going wrong, that's the benefit that catches you. But the benefit that's there to help employees and assist them with things like stress, whether it's stress in the workplace or stress at home, if it's stress that you're, because you're a caregiver to an aging parent, or caught in the sandwich generation where you're not only caring for your parents, but you're caring for your children, what benefit is that in the tool set? And that is a typical historical employee assistance plan, EAP. Mm. Having worked there in that space, as well as the health plan space, nobody uses employee assistance plans. The employer will provide the service and provide the benefit, but employees don't use it. They're afraid that their manager will find out that they're dealing with something. And the stigma that might go with that, and the fear of using the benefit and having their employer know about it, really causes people to just not call the number. And so an employer tries to bring forth this benefit to the employees, but the employees don't use it. And that's where at WellSpark, we're trying to bring these two worlds together and get ahead of it, as Cheryl says, but really acknowledge the mind-body connection. And through coaching, a lot of our program is focused on one-on-one coaching. And it might be coaching for a chronic disease or coaching for disease prevention. But in the course of that coaching and counseling, we're talking one-on-one in a very confidential, personalized way with our members, and really unlocking what's going on in their personal orbit that is contributing to this, to the mind-body connection and the problems that they're having.
So what I'm really hearing is that one of the biggest barriers to employees taking advantage of the programming that employers not only provide but are paying for is the stigma, the impression on the part of the employee that if they take advantage of even something like a gym membership, never mind a visit to a psychologist or a psychiatrist, that that's going to be, slipped into the back of the employee file and is going to haunt them for the rest of their careers.
Yes, the fear and anxiety around using the benefits and then having their employer find out what are they using, even though it is all highly confidential, there is the perception and the fear that if I use this benefit, somehow my employer is going to find out. And it's interesting, John, because you know, if you look at the top three reasons that people are using EAPs, it's stress about family, it's stress about job, and within that job stress, the number one reason there is their boss. They have a lot of stress about their boss. So the very reason they might use this benefit is the very reason they might not use this benefit, because of the fear of their boss.
That's right.
So I'm hearing also that it's really, really important at this point for employees and employers to kind of get together and hash all this out and recognize when there's unhealthy stress present in the workplace.
Yeah, I would say it's a couple of things, and certainly Cheryl's commented on some of them with creating a culture where you're really trying to help employees navigate a culture that's going through a lot of change, mm-hmm. and really trying to help people through leadership manage through that change. But then it's also giving employees tools that they can use to help themselves navigate in a very confidential and secure way, so that they get the help they need, but also mm-hmm. to make sure when they're in that environment at work that the culture is such that leadership and management is creating a very positive culture for the engaged employee.
Yeah, and Cheryl, speaking of culture, you know, each individual employee is different, but so is each workplace, even if it's part of a corporate culture that is global. And therein lies yet another disconnect. It's trying to kind of toe the bigger company line and fulfill all the demands that are coming down from the main office, so to speak. But at the same time, trying to make accommodations for the regional cultures of the location of the employer, as well as each individual employee who comes onto that island and tries to function independently as a unit underneath that kind of two-tiered cultural expectation, right? Mm-hmm.
That's true. And with culture, there's not one size fits all to address all of the issues that an organization could be facing. And that's why I think it's really important that organizations identify what does their corporate culture look like, and then listen to employees to see, is there a connection? And
I don't just do it on training day.
This culture is an everyday breathing organism. And so it's not one and done. It is a forever building process. Most importantly is listening to your employees and making sure that not only do you listen, but you take action on things that are worrying to them. And so culture, you can't just say, here's the new tool in the toolbox, everybody should use it, because the stressors are so different. Organizations are so different. Cultures globally are different. But I think that really the call to action is identify what is the culture that you want to create, and then measure it. Is it the culture that the employees are feeling? And you do that by listening. And then also making sure that you recognize, no matter how good your culture is, there's stress in the workplace, and get ahead of it. And the call to action is to make sure that you have those plans in place today to avoid or prevent any of the financial impacts that we talked about.
Bert?
Yeah, I just wanted to come behind Cheryl. If you think about wellness programs in the workplace, they've been around for a long time. And, you know, there's all sorts of debates about are they effective or not. And certainly making the programs themselves weave into the culture of the company is really, really critical to their success. You just can't say, here's a new program. It used to be that you'd say, well, everybody, and you know, you go to conferences and hear about what makes these programs successful, and it's the executive. You need an executive champion. And really, the more experience we get with these programs, it's really the line supervisor. The line supervisor has to be on board with these programs to make sure that maybe an hourly employee gets a chance to walk around the parking lot or gets a chance to take advantage of the tools and not just be, you know, driving to a result on the shop floor. So that's part of the culture that is evolving as well.
Yeah. So that being said, how is WellSpark making a difference in employee-employer situations?
Well, our whole, I'll call it an angle, our new spot that we're going for here, John, is to acknowledge that the employee benefits suite that an employer offers, it's pretty siloed. And so we're making the case, successfully I might add, that if you bring together an employee assistance program with a health benefit and try to get ahead of some of these stressors, and you do it in a culturally relevant way, or you're weaving yourself into the work itself, you actually can get better outcomes, because you're getting ahead of disease, you are reducing stress and anxiety. But again, it's engaging people where employee assistance programs heretofore just have fallen short and haven't worked. So we're getting higher engagement and better results on the health plan side.
Yeah. So where can employers and employees learn more?
Well, you can go to our site at wellsparkhealth.com. But more importantly, John, I think if you're an employer out there and you're interested in seeing how these programs might help your culture, you should ask your broker. I mean, there's a lot of brokers in Connecticut that employers work with who are aware of these programs and would help you on your journey as you roll out a strategy that includes these programs.
How about with Bowie Management?
Yeah, so I think for those organizations that are looking to create that culture, reach out to BowieManagementGroup.com or email me at Cheryl at BowieManagementGroup.com.
Excellent. Yeah. Our guests this morning have been Bert Wachtelhausen. She is the president of Wellspark Health, and Cheryl Hutchinson, co-founder and president of Bowie Management Group, talking about how stress impacts employers and the causes of employee stress and impacts on corporate culture. We hope if you're an employer or an employee, you've learned something from our guests this morning. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Well, as we move transition through the middle toward the end of fall and into winter, we're always thinking about the cold and ways that we can conserve energy, and we're tapping our best resource at Eversource. Mitch Gross is on the line with us. Eversource is working with customers at all times to help manage their energy use. Last year, Eversource generated about $215 million in savings for customers in Connecticut, Massachusetts, and New Hampshire through solutions that can help those customers. And there's also some easy updates that you can do now during sort of the fall cleanup season around the home, condo, or apartment. So we're going to talk about those for a little while with Mitch. Mitch, how's it going?
John, it's going well. Thanks for having me.
Good, good. Well, let's talk about that all-important fall tune-up and maintenance on heating sources and things we need to know about the thermostats that are serving homes today.
Well, first, let me say that we could talk about, if it's summertime, we talk about tuning up the air conditioning. Mm-hmm. If it's fall, we talk about tuning up the furnace. And it's a reminder to our customers, when's the last time have you had it done lately? Take a look back. You know, if your furnace has not been tuned up recently, it's probably overdue. There are lots of very reputable companies out there that can take care of this for you, to check for blockages. If you heat for natural gas, for instance, to make sure that flame is burning as hot and as efficient as it should. And it's a matter of it's maintenance. It's year-round maintenance to make sure your heating, your ventilating, your air conditioning are all running at peak the way they should.
Mm-hmm. There's a few specific maintenance pieces for people that may have moved over the summer. A lot of people move during the summer and fall. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've gone from a hot water system to a forced air system that introduces the need to be cognizant of the filters in that system, right?
That's right. Filters are very important. You know, a professional will check the filters, check for blockages, inspect the seals on your system, test it to ensure. And, of course, we always recommend, whether it's a furnace or it's air conditioning or whatever, you clean or change those filters every 6 months or more often if you happen to be a smoker or have pets.
Very good. Now, the other thing that I've been hearing and actually writing a little bit about is this new generation of smart thermostats. I went into my cell phone provider storefront a few days ago, mm-hmm. and they've got thermostats
yes.
put up in the store. I mean, that's something that usually, 10, 20 years ago, you'd either see in DIY big boxes or at heating and air conditioning suppliers. Now they seem to be everywhere. What are a few of the most important things in your world that you're trying to communicate to people about this latest generation of thermostats?
Well, I think first and foremost, they are worth the investment. They absolutely are. These are a great way to control help control your energy costs. You can do it from your cell phone, from your laptop, no matter what time of day it is. If you're delayed at work or delayed on the road and you want to get the heat going so it's at a more comfortable temperature when you come in, as I said, you can do it from your laptop, from your cell phone, whatever. They are worth the investment. And we're recommending to our customers, you know, thermostats in general should be reprogrammed to reflect the time of the year. And, of course, you have, the fall. Fall is upon us. Hmm. You have, kids leaving for school at certain times. You're going to work at certain times, getting home at different times. And then once daylight savings is all said and done, you've lost that hour. So it's a matter of making sure that the heat comes on when you really need it. The temperature goes down when it should. In another effort to help you conserve energy and save some dollars on that utility bill.
Yeah, and certainly, we see now as we're speaking here in mid-October, it's really getting dark in the 5 o'clock hour now, and daylight savings mm-hmm. time, as you mentioned, is going to be happening a week or so after we air this program.
Right.
So it's a good time to also think about and talk about lighting, and certainly there's a lot of new technology there, but what are some of the most basic and important things people need to look for if they're thinking about trying to save some energy across their homes or businesses, for that matter, with lighting?
Is your lighting Energy Star certified? Basically, have you gone to LED bulbs? And if you haven't, why not? Okay, they last as much as 15 times longer and use between 70 and 90% less energy than a traditional incandescent bulb. And the technology has leaped forward in the past few years, as far as the range of wattages. There's dimmable bulbs, all kinds of sizes. The light color options seem to be endless. When LEDs first were introduced to the market, sure, they were few and far between, and some people weren't very pleased with them. The color that they burned, etc. But the manufacturers have heard from their customers, and they have gone to great lengths to really improve the selection. It's a smorgasbord now of LED opportunities out mm-hmm. there.
And I guess are there any new types of fixtures that you're seeing a lot of people using? I mean, I obviously for folks that are interested in home security, perhaps either solar powered or motion sensing type lighting is a good idea for around the house.
Motion sensing lighting is a great option if that's where you choose to go. You know, many of those are solar powered, and at this time of the year, there is limited light as it gets darker earlier, as you know. So that's something else to keep in mind. But yeah, sure, motion sensing light is a great security option. You know, if you go to energy.gov, there's a whole section on different types of technology to use, or EnergyStar.gov too.
Yep.
And EnergyStar.gov is a great online catalog for all things energy efficient. And there's some great items there, and I encourage customers to take a look at it, and it's a good place to go shopping.
Yeah, and speaking of shopping, it's not too early to start thinking about the holiday season, especially for folks who may have been either saving up or they're making a plan to replace a larger appliance. And that's where, once again, I guess the Energy Star label really plays an important role in that decision. Because as you sort of said with lighting, maybe spending a little bit more up front or saving a little more to spend up front with an Energy Star appliance is really going to pay for itself in the long run.
That you're exactly right. Energy Star certified appliances are designed to be more energy efficient, plain and simple. And the difference can be noticeable over the long term. And let me give you an example. If you have a refrigerator and you've decided it's time to replace it, it's 10 years old or even older, a new Energy Star certified unit can save about $100 a year on your electric bills. So that's something to consider right off the top. And, of course, Energy Star home appliances, they run the gamut of options out there. Clothes washers and dryers, heat pump water heaters, freezers, air conditioners, And of course, in many cases, these items, these appliances may qualify for money-saving incentives and rebates. So we, again, encourage our customers to do a little shopping, but look for that Energy Star label.
Very good. The other thing that you always remind us about when we chat on the program, Mitch, is the other services either the direct services Eversource can offer in terms of resources or the way Eversource can facilitate these home visits where experts come in and
really... Home Energy Solutions, yeah, you're talking
yeah.
about.
Yep.
Home Energy Solutions, our most popular program by far. If your listeners are unfamiliar with it, it's an in-home visit by an Eversource authorized contractor. The idea is they're there to help you tighten your home, to make it more energy efficient, to cut down on those drafts and where air is escaping, where the warm air is leaving during the winter, where the cool air is leaving during the summer. And this is by far the best time to take advantage of it because it's only $75 for the work. And this is a service that typically runs $149 if you heat with natural gas or with electricity, or $179 if you heat with another source. But right now, at least through the end of the year, it's $75. And the average participant receives about $1,000 worth of products and services. They evaluate insulation, the heating and cooling systems, your lighting. They caulk, they weather strip, they foam. They basically make your home tighter from attic to basement. They help you cut down on those drafts and help you save money and save some energy.
Great. Well, we've talked about Energy Star and the various types of appliances and lighting. We've talked about doing the tune-ups, the fall, winter tune-ups on the heating system and getting this Eversource-related service in to evaluate and do these visits at the home. But once people are saving all that money, they can find out exactly how much they're saving, too. You're helping folks track savings online?
That's right. On our website, we have a free interactive program. It's an energy savings plan, and it's designed to help residences and small business customers understand how they use their energy and help them find new ways to save. It's a great program, and people ought to check it out.
Great. Then, once again, if you could just review the couple of websites people will need to know to kind of launch themselves into these important fall, early winter maintenance practices and perhaps purchases?
Sure. Let's start with Eversource.com. All right, Eversource.com. There's EnergyStar.gov, G-O-V, EnergyStar.gov. And let me also give your listeners a number for Home Energy Solutions. It's 1-877-WISE. Use 1-877-WISE-USE. Call the number or go on our website eversource.com to check it out, get some more of your questions answered, and hopefully take advantage of the program for $75. And it takes about 4 hours for an average home. It takes about 4 hours for the contractors to do what they need to do from top to bottom.
Always an important and educational visit when we get together, Mitch. Thank you so much. Mitch Gross from Eversource talking to us this morning about the things you need to do to get ready for this coming winter season and all of your heating and cooling seasons ahead of that with all these great energy-saving ideas. Mitch, thank you so much.
You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program for the people. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host. If you have a suggestion for an issue, a guest, or a PSA relevant to the audience and community served by our radio station, you must make a request for consideration in writing to me via email at john.voquette@connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program may be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast. Our public file detailing the many critical community and state issues addressed on For the People can be reviewed upon request during normal business hours at 440 Wheeler's Farms Road in Milford or on our station website. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Viette. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. Join us again this time next week for more conversation and information on the award-winning For the People. And don't forget,
You can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime on iTunes or under the podcast tab on our station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.